Hello, everybody.
Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Honor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. We got a little Creedence Clearwater in the background. Let's pause that. Let's get down to business. ARMR stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. This is about stock market investing, this show, both on a day trading level and a long-term investment level. Got my shades on at the moment because I got a lot of screens around me. Gets tiring on the eyes. Take that off, give you a chance to look at me, all right? I'm Brett Rosenthal, I'm the host here, and I manage capital. Everything I share with you, all the information I share with you, it's all information I use to manage my own personal capital and that of high net worth investors through our Interactive Brokers affiliation. Now, what I'm in the process of doing here with you every day, I do it at 9 o'clock in the morning to get you ready for the trading session, and I do it now at noon to give you some broader strokes on what we're doing here to invest and to commit capital on a short-term basis and a longer-term basis, is we're combining traditional fundamental analysis with algorithmic execution tools. And that's how you create alpha in the market today. Better than 85% of transactions that occur every day on the exchanges are executed by algorithms. If you're executing on your own as a human, you are literally bringing a knife to a gunfight. You're never going to win. You need algorithms to execute in the millennial market. That's it. And I'm just trying to share with you the process. I've been doing this 30 years. I've been writing algorithms since 1990s. They were rudimentary back then, to be fair. Today, they're institutional quality and exceptional, if I may be so bold, and forgive me for my lack of humility. But they're all designed around putting us on the right side of probabilities and statistics and putting capital to work when we have the highest reward versus risk ratio. If those two things aren't true, then we don't commit capital. And we don't care what we hear on CNBC, and we don't care what someone next to us is doing, and we don't listen to all, the excitement of the market's in a bear market. Now the market's out of a bear market. Now it's leaving the correction territory. All of that stuff is noise designed to lose you money. Period. Full stop. You don't make decisions like that. Here's how you make decisions to be successful and create alpha and increase your net worth over time as an investor in the stock market. You do your research. You find companies you want to own that are involved in investment themes. I'll get into that in a minute. So you want investment themes and the best companies in those themes, and you put them on your whiteboard, and you wait. You don't just buy them because you think it's great. And when they drop 20%, you don't add more and dollar average price down. It's a guaranteed way to underperform. And it's unrealistic. You've worked hard for your money. You invested in the stock market. It starts dropping, and you have no stop losses, and you just throw more money at the idea. It's an unrealistic way to run money. What eventually will happen is the market will go down enough and the pain will be enough and 90% of people will sell right at the bottom. You know it. You know it. That's why you're watching this show. You're trying to figure out a better way to manage your capital. You've been through that and you want to rehabilitate your portfolio and you want to rehabilitate your experience investing in the equity markets. So I started this show to help you understand that today's world, you need algorithms, and I'm going to help you with that. You can use our website as a basic guide to tell you when to add risk and subtract risk using institutional quality algorithms. That'll just at the very least put you on the right side of probabilities and put you on the right side of reward versus risk. If the risk is too great, we don't commit capital. We don't care if we miss a little blip here or there in the market. These strategies show us over time the market will come back to an area where the reward versus risk is right and the probabilities are right, and we can commit capital. You have to be disciplined when you invest in a market like this. So without further ado, let's get to the show and how we break it down. I'm going to share with you what our big five algorithms are telling us. We go over this every day to start the show, so you know where we are on the risk on, risk off spectrum. Then I'm going to break down for you rule number 25 on our list of rules of the road for investing. I'm compiling a list after 30 years of doing this, and I'm sharing it with you. There's a blog post on our website, rosenthalcapital.com, where you can literally see and read the post, and I update it as often as I can so you can follow these rules. If you follow these rules and invest with these rules, you will become a better investor, because these rules are about discipline. They're about patience. They're about protecting capital, but capturing upside when appropriate, when possible. So rule number 25 we're going to go over. It's a pretty important rule. And then I'm going to follow up and finish the show with some thoughts on the key groups that we're investing in right now. That includes the cannabis stocks, the precious metals companies, and I'm going to add a third group to the list that we have to start focusing on. So let's first go to these let's start going to these algorithms first. Okay, the top five algorithms, I'm going to share this with you so you can see what I'm saying, okay? I'm going to share with you a picture of the S&P, okay? Here we go. All right, there you go. You're looking at the S&P. Every tick there is 60 minutes. It's a 60-minute chart. Going back to last year, September, the top of the downtrend that we're in now. If you want to know why I keep saying we're stalking the bear market, it's because this is the bigger picture. I don't care that the market's run up in the last 2 weeks. The bigger picture is that the market's in a downtrend since September. And until that trend changes, we are stalking a bear. So right up here is the overhead. And what we want to do is see what the market does at this point. If it sets up the correct reversal patterns, we will be shorting the market. You're looking at the S&P. There's a picture of the NASDAQ. You can see each index is right at the top of the downtrend and right at the 50-day moving average. You can see the Dow never quite got to the top of the downtrend. You can see our strategy that's been long the Dow since the 28th of December sold the entire position this morning at the open. That's an algorithmic exit point for this particular rally. So if you were a short-term trader, you would have been in then. You'd be booking your profits here. On our risk-on, risk-off monitor on our website, we try to gear that for longer-term investors. So an entry like this is not something we're trying to wiggle and trade, and therefore we remain defensive in the portfolio. But you could have traded the Dow, and there's the trade right there. You could see it on our algorithm. Profit's been booked now. Here's the last index that really matters. This is the small caps, same thing. In on the 28th, hitting its green line right there, which is the primary exit. We'll see how it trades today. We may be booking some profits there. Okay, that's just a short-term chart. Okay, so we remain in a defensive position. We remain risk-off. We continue to stalk the bear. We think this continues to be a setup for a very good short opportunity if it sets up. I can't express this enough. We don't force our will on the market. If you go look at our website, you'll see our model portfolios, conservative, balanced, and aggressive. These are portfolios with real capital, both my own and investors, that are domiciled at Interactive Brokers. And anybody with an IB account can link to these portfolios and begin experiencing algorithmic performance combined with fundamental analysis. That's what we do. And you'll see in those three portfolios, we're starting to nibble on the short side, but nothing significant. If we get a reversal in here, then we'll hit it, you know, a lot harder. We'll probably double or triple the size of our short. If we don't get it and the market breaks out, that's fine. Take a small loss on this small position and look to be getting long the market on the next opportunity, not on the breakout, but on the next opportunity. I hope the downtrend gets broken, and that means we'll have a decent year of 2019 and we'll get some great buying opportunities throughout the year. Okay. So that's the quick rundown on stalking the bear. We're still stalking. I'm distracted sometimes because the market's open and this is a live trading desk. So I'm just looking at whether or not there's trades I want to put on. The market seems to be putting in a double bottom. So the short-term opportunity here could be decent. If this double bottom fails and we take out the lows of the day, it's very possible that this will be a good reversal day and the first sign that the bear paws are back. A big reversal day, which is a strong up open with a nasty close, would be something that would mean to us that a reversal of this most recent 12, 13 day rally is upon us and a retest of the low is going to happen. And so anybody who wants to short can now start doing it. But I will say, I always say on the show, shorting's not for everybody and it's probably not for you. It's a dangerous thing to do. The market goes up 8 days out of 10. So you're already on the wrong side of probability. And you know, I hate doing that. I rarely short. Rarely. There are only certain times, specific setups where the reward is so worth the risk that I'm willing to put some money out. That time may be upon us depending on how the market trades. This close is going to be very interesting. I'm looking for up opens and nasty closes, and that will tell us we've hit the top of the downtrend and that trend is going to reassert itself. Not happening yet, so stay tuned. And know that at the end of the day, if the market's plummeting and we're closing at the lows of the day, we'll be adding more short here on our desk. Now, that doesn't mean you have to short. There's nothing wrong with cash in a bad market. And you can see in our model portfolios, that's the primary position we have is big cash positions. That's why we outperformed the market last year. And no doubt, over time in a bear market, it'll help us continue to build alpha. So you don't have to be short. There's a breakdown right now occurring as we're speaking. I have to share it with you so you can see this. Okay, now you're looking at a very short-term chart. This is our chart that we use for intraday trading. We have algorithms designed for this. Over here on the left, you're looking at the NASDAQ 100 triple Qs. On the right, you're looking at small cap index. You're looking at the low of the day in here. The red lines on the bottom are Fibonacci extensions lower off the opening range, and the green on top are Fibonacci extensions higher. Okay? As you can see, we are breaking down below the opening range low after a strong rally this morning. This is a classic setup for an ugly close. If it occurs, you're going to want to protect your capital at all costs. Okay, do whatever you have to do to protect capital if that type of behavior continues to the close. And if you're aggressive, you put on short positions. All right, rule number 25, check this out. All right, I'm going to update our blog post. You can go look at it right now. It's rosendahlcapital.com. Click on algorithmic research and you'll see our rules of the road blog post about investing rules we've learned over 30 years of doing this. Rule number 25, 3% or 3 days. It's the 3-day rule. And this is not, you know, something I've created myself. You can find this in a lot of technical analysis books. I'm just highlighting it because it's a very important rule when it comes to downtrends or uptrends, any trend at all. Before you can declare that trend over, you have to be above, let's say in this case, we're in a downtrend. We have to be above the downtrend for at least 3 days or at least 3%. That's been true for like 50 years. This market's a little more volatile, so maybe it's a little more than 3%. But I'd say 3 days is still a winner. If we break out of the downtrend and we're up there for more than 3 days, I'll start changing my stock in the bear mentality, and I'll start to look for long entries. It's rule number 25, and it's worth talking about today. Because if the market breaks these downtrends, it's going to have to break it for at least 3 days in a row and at least 3%. Maybe the volatility in the world today means 6%. I don't know. Maybe the volatility is double. But it's at least 3%. So if you just pop above the downtrend line by a percent, it doesn't really mean anything. So remember that. It's the 3% or 3-day rule when it comes to trend lines. Okay, let's wrap up. Try to keep this tight today, because I got a lot to do. Phone calls coming in, as you can hear, and I got to continue working on our intraday trading algorithm, where I'm working with the coder. We're working constantly around the clock here, trying to get this thing coded, because it seems like it's a highly profitable intraday trading tool. I mean, ridiculously profitable. When I have the numbers, I'll share them with you. But we're still doing back testing, refining, and writing of code. But I digress. I wanted to get to the three groups that we're following and just give you some updates. Cannabis, it's our favorite. You know it. Okay. I've got, again, on the website, blog post all about cannabis stocks. It's the super cycle of cannabis investing. We're at the very beginning. This is a 5 to 10 year thing. So 1 to 3 to 5 to 10 years, I think it's the best place to have money from a growth standpoint. And we're doing research on companies we want to own. One thing we're doing, we've seen a great breakout in some of the best names over the last 2 weeks. We're not chasing that breakout, but we're writing puts. These things are so volatile. There's a lot of premium in the puts. So we're figuring out where we want to buy these things, and we're writing puts out in February, where we're more than happy to be put stock at that price. Stocks don't come down, we collect that premium and we look to buy the next risk on entry point. So that's one way for us to get into these trades. We love the action. The first 2 weeks of the year are showing us that cannabis stocks are going to be one of the best places to have money this year. But we're not going to chase them on the way up. We are going to use the option market because they're so volatile. We can write puts at the right strike, collect the premium, and be willing to collect that stock. If we get put the stock, I'm happy to own it at the price I'm choosing. I'm not sharing the price. You got to figure out that for yourself. But think about something to do as a way to collect premium. If these things just keep running away, great. Give me cash. And if they come down and put stock to us, beautiful. That'll start our position building. Also, a couple of news stories. I've seen a lot of M&A activity in the space. There was just a deal done to raise capital for Kush, which is a small cap name that is in the bottling business. A lot of these small CBD companies and all kinds of, not just CBD, but use Kush as the bottler. So it's kind of like a company that creates the picks and the axes for the gold miners, right? So we're not buying we're buying all kinds of cannabis companies. And I'm not buying the stock today, but they just raised a bunch of cash and did a secondary. Brings the price of the stock down. I think it's down 13% on the day. So now it comes into an area that might be interesting to us. We're still doing research there. I'm not buying it. I'm just letting you know. Saw the story the other day on Tellray. They cut a deal with somebody who they're paying money to. They're paying money to help market their products. That's where the stock got whacked yesterday. Then I saw InBev make an announcement that they're going to be releasing a Marley brand of product in the states that allow for marijuana sales. So this is very important. This is more or less, I wouldn't call it a negative, but let's don't get ahead of our skis on something like InBev or any of these cannabis stories where you think they're going to be selling CBD-infused beverages all over the country. Not happening. The federal government does not think at the moment that CBD, a product that you can sell across state lines in any state you want, okay? You can't do that. The FDA still regards CBD as a substance that you can't put in a drink. And until they change that rule, and we're in a government shutdown now, so you can forget about that for right now. I mean, they're not getting to that rule. So you could sell these products in the states where you could sell marijuana. But the big rollout and the huge revenue bump for these companies is not as close as you think. So let's don't lose our head. And I guess what I want to say right now is you don't have to dip down and buy the InBevs or the Kushes or all these other small names. We are at the very beginning of the investing super cycle for cannabis companies. So buy the very best stocks. You don't need the peanut names. Buy the number one, number two, number three names. That's how you build wealth over time. You own Amazon, Google, Facebook. When they started, you don't buy pets.com because of a sock puppet. You with me? Okay. Now let's shift gears over to gold and silver. The precious metals are really, really impressive. The market has skyrocketed in the last 12 days. Usually gold and silver would get crushed in that environment. Not happening. They're holding up in tight pennants, consolidating big moves up in December. That's very bullish. GDX and GDXJ, these stocks are a lot more volatile than the metal. They've sold off for a couple days. One of the reasons, I think, is that Newmont Mining took over Goldcorp, and that just created a lot of cross currents. But I think that gives an opportunity to buy these things as long as the metals continue to grind higher. So buy weakness. We already have our allocation there. We're making money in these trades. We're not buying them today. But I'm just saying, if you've missed it and they've come in a little bit, find your point. Maybe you want to buy some weakness. I don't know you, right? So this is not a recommendation for you to go buy the stocks right now. I don't know you. I'm just telling you what I'm doing on my trading desk. And let's wrap up with a new investment theme we have to start paying attention to. If the Fed is really near the end of its rate hike cycle, then it behooves us to look at dividend-paying stocks again. So I submit to you that it's time to pay attention to XLU, utility stocks. 3.5% yield on that index, 4 to 5% yields on some of the better names in the index, Duke, Southern Company, Dominion, or whatever your favorite names are in the space. And the reason I like it is that the stocks have been crushed recently because of what's happening to PG&E out in California. In the infinite wisdom of left-wing liberal craziness in California, they're forcing PG&E into bankruptcy because of wildfires. Got to blame somebody, right? We don't even know if it's their fault. They didn't cut the brush enough. They didn't cut, no doubt, the endangered tree that the Green Party wouldn't let them cut, right? Just for a second. Can I digress for a minute into something that's so annoying? You have an environmental lobby that doesn't allow for the correct management of forests. And then you blame PG&E when there's a forest fire because they have a lot of money, their utility. Let's force them into bankruptcy. That makes a lot of sense. Breathe, Brett, breathe. Don't let it upset you too much. It's ridiculous. Okay, but my point is that stock was in and is still in XLU. It represents 1.3% of XLU, down from a higher percentage earlier. Probably going to go to 0%. It's dragging down XLU. It's dragging down the whole space because now investors are saying, well, what about other utility companies? Do they have liability for this, right? Because if you screw up one, if you allow California to blame the entire wildfire on the utility and then put them into bankruptcy, what happens in other states when there's a natural disaster and there's a precedent set that you can sue the utility? You see the problem? But I think that that's fear-mongering, and I don't think it's realistic. And so as they drive these stocks down and the yields go up and we're at the end of a rate hike cycle, that can be interesting. So put it on the whiteboard. Start looking at it. All right? I wish you guys the best of luck. I hope you do well today in your investment process and philosophies. I hope this has helped you. Thanks for listening. It helps me. And I will check back with you tomorrow morning around 9 o'clock for our morning meeting. I should know where we're at. All right? Take care, y'all.